Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, it's Joe Shasky from The Morning Roast, and you're listening to Willard and Dibs. If you're doing what I'm doing, then you're listening on the radio. If not, you could check them out and see what kind of hat Willard's wearing right now on YouTube.
Haka hat, San Francisco special. Glad you're all with us today. Steve Young in 15 minutes. Willard and Dibs, 888-957-9570. The number, if Mac Jones and the Niners win this weekend. And if you're just joining us, by the way, yes, it's official. Brock Purdy's out. Mac is listed as questionable, so technically not 100% that he'll play, but that's the plan. If Mac and the Niners win this weekend, do you automatically want to see Mac Jones start again against Atlanta on Sunday Night Football the following Sunday? I'll also throw this out there. You know, you had texted early in the week. You went into some sort of NFC analytics, and you're like, this is a – And you mean it beyond the obvious. This is a huge game.
Yeah, it's huge.
Well, sure. It's a huge game in terms of the buildup, in terms of, yes, it could be a playoff tiebreaker, kind of a scenario thing. All of that is very true. On the other hand, I sort of look at this game maybe a little bit of a different way. The win in L.A. delivered you so much house money, and this becomes yet another house money game. If you're able to win it, holy crap, you're 5-1. You're running the conference and you don't have a bunch of your really key players. So that's incredible. But because you're doing it again with a lot of injuries, because you have three, I'm going to keep hammering this, three division wins already in your hip pocket, I don't find this to be a weekend where the Niner fan feels stressed or devastated if they were to lose. I don't see this one as vital. And I say that through the framework of like they're all vital. I get it.
Sure.
They're NFL
yeah.
games. They're all vital. But do you know what I'm saying? I don't think this is a pressure cooker game. I don't.
It's not a pressure cooker, but if you want to look at the big picture, if you want to have your eyes on the prize and you start to think about things down the road, tiebreakers, and one of the tiebreakers is conference record, and it's divisional record to break the tie with, who else you're tied with in the division. But then you get into like, if you're 13-4 and the Packers are 13-4 and the Bucks are 13-4 and the Giants are 13-4.
Okay.
I mean, I had to do it because you already beat them.
Easy.
The point being like, oh, you and Tampa, you're tied. Well, you beat Tampa. You won't play Green Bay. You won't play Detroit. And a lot of these other teams that you won't play who are going to be good, the tiebreaker becomes conference record. And so I look at them in the conference, and with a win here, you'd now be 5-0 because you beat New Orleans. And so as you start to look at like the games that are more important than the others, this game's more important than Cleveland, and this game is more important than the Giants because the Giants aren't going to be a tiebreaker kind of team. I just was thinking about it in terms of like, eyes on the bigger prize, because if you can get the one seed and you can be home and you get that bye, my God, then maybe you can start thinking about big things.
No question. I agree across the board. That said, I think this is going to be a little bit of a different experience than the game in L.A. on a Thursday night. That one brings out all of the hair on the back of the neck, and there's the emotions because it's L.A. and whose house? Oh, God, it's our house. Hello. Like all of that stuff, and you rock a 14-0 lead on two drives, and all of a sudden you got something that you think you need to protect. You didn't think that going into the game. The Niners didn't feel like, right? We didn't swagger into that one.
No.
Ooh, we got this. But once you take a 14-0 lead, now you feel like, you got something to protect. And it almost feel a little bit like you let one slip away if you don't win it, which is why it's great they hung on. Plus, it's a division game. I know that Tampa is injured too, but I'm not swaggering into this one. I think the Niners will have a shot to win it. I really do. It also would not shock me if they lost by two touchdowns. Like, I don't know. Can someone explain to me exactly how they're supposed to stop Baker Mayfield this weekend? They can't rush the passer.
Right. Okay. And they don't intercept the football either.
How are you? Like, you know what I mean? I know Matt Stafford is wonderful too. And they figured that out.
And you didn't really stop Puka Nacua or Devontae Adams.
No.
And this is what Saleh will do. It's going to be the bend but don't break. And you get down in the red zone. And if you want to look at the Buccaneers' red zone offense, they're not great. And your red zone defense is not, I mean, it's not bad. So that becomes, I think, where this game is won and lost, where they get down to the 15 offensively. Can you stop them? Yeah. You get down to the 15. Can you score? Because neither offense is great in the red zone.
Yeah. I just like if there's any wish for the Niners this weekend, once again, we always focus on everything that's going on the offensive side of the ball. I would love for some defensive linemen to find their way through those little gaps that all have those nicknames, get through there and go make Baker Mayfield move. And by the way, he does it very, very well. He's like Brock Purdy. He's very underrated on his feet. And so I just find that to be a very, very difficult matchup. How are they going to stop Baker Mayfield, who moves well, runs well at least to a degree, can move the chains on a third down, and Ibuka looks just phenomenal. And I know that some of their other weapons are hurt. That's all true. But one of these weeks, whether it's by hook, by crook, or by trade, they're going to have to rush the passer to win football games.
Especially against this guy and this offense, because even beyond Ibuka, you've got Kate Otten, who has now emerged as a good second tier threat for Tampa Bay, and they've got Rashad White, who as RB2, as you like to call the backup running back, he's one of the best in football. Yeah. And even though you won't have Bucky Irving, it looks like, and I think he's been ruled out already.
He's out.
So
yes, he's out.
Your backup running back is one of the better ones in football, and even though they don't have their left tackle, you have not been a really disruptive defense. You don't rush the passer well, and you don't take the ball away. And if you want to look at which team has done it by more smoke and mirrors, it's kind of close, because Tampa beat Atlanta based on a missed field goal that's about a 90% gimme of a field goal. And then the next game they won with 3 seconds left on a last-second play where you scored a touchdown and you got that win. And you lost to Philly. You trailed most of the way fine. That's always going to be a tough game. But Tampa's been doing it kind of the same way the Niners have.
And then they beat the Jets in a game that they controlled the whole day.
Yep.
And then totally coughed it up. And then there was a block kick return for a touchdown, but they still found a way to win that one. And then, I don't know, to me, last weekend is the most impressive one yet. And I don't even feel like it's been talked about enough. Like, Seattle moved the ball at will against the Bucs. Okay, that's one aspect of this. But talk to me about what we've been saying all year long. Well, Seattle is one of the hardest places to play. They've got a brand new defensive head coach, and that's a very good defense. The Niners and Seahawks went up there, and two teams combined for 30 points. Two teams had 30 points.
Right.
The Bucs went up there, and both teams scored well over 30 points. 38 points at Seattle, that is the performance of the year so far for Tampa. And that one really surprised me.
Well, they drive down, they get a field goal with 1:08 to go to tie it, and you're thinking overtime, and okay, overtime, and here comes Seattle. Darnold complete to Cooper Kupp, and then Darnold, whoops, that's going to be picked off by Lavonte David, and now we're in field goal range. Run, timeout, run, timeout, run, timeout. Baker with the kneel, and here comes Chase to win it. And so I'm not saying that they got lucky, because you know me, I don't believe in luck, but that's a case where Tampa Bay made a play, and Sammy D with an ill-timed interception, when really all you had to do is, you know, keep the ball and maybe get to the 40, 45-yard line, give yourself a chance, but he throws the pick. You had all three timeouts,
yep,
and you threw the pick that cost you the game.
I mean, one point of clarification there, it was actually a touchdown to tie the game with 1:08, followed right by a field goal.
Oh, they, my bad, yeah, yep.
The
yep.
Bucs were down by 7 with 1:08 to go, and then won it in regulation. In regulation, they scored right twice in the last 1:08. Yes, Sam Darnold threw a pick. But anyway, the point is Tampa's offense, at least in moments where it really matters, like the leveraged moments so far this year, no one has stopped it yet. No one. And some of these defenses are good defenses. Not all of them by any stretch, but they scored nicely on Philly even though they lost the game. Going to Seattle, that's a really good defense. Houston, really good defense. And as soon as Houston scored to go ahead in that game, I thought, well, that's that. And Baker took him right down the field and scored the game-winning touchdown. That was that Thursday night, I think, week 2 or 3.
Yep.
So, anyway, it's obviously, people are talking about him as the leader for MVP in the early race right now. And if you can't rush that guy, I mean, he's going to pick you apart.
Yeah.
So, anyway, that's the matchup that my eyes are on, not so much Mac Jones.
Well, the other one for me is Mac Jones, because Tampa blitzes almost more than any other team, and the Niners' offensive line has had trouble at times helping their team move the ball.
Steve Young joins us next. The kickoff show this Sunday, Low Neal, Evan Giddings at 11 a.m. So if you're looking for somewhere to watch the early games, Laughing Monk Brewing in Sunnyvale is your spot. No, by the way, the Gold Rush girls will be there. So how about a photo or an autograph? Next home game is obviously the following week, Sunday night, October 13th. Lowe and Evan will start at 3 at Laughing Monk. You can also sign up for the free shuttle over to the stadium. So that's first come, first serve. Go to the Eventbrite page on our website, 957thegame.com. Sign up right now, because that's first come, first serve, and space will go fast. We're sponsored by Moderna. This is Willard and Dibs.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. 1. It's $15 a month. 2. Seriously, it's $15 a month. 3. No big contracts. 4. I use it. 5. My mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer. First 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
Can you sing with that voice?
Literally. I did Daddy Warbucks in middle school, and it was talk singing.
What I'm telling you, Kelly Savalas.
N-Y-C.
That's singing.
On 95.7 The Game.
And the band is back together again. How about
that? Oh, I love
that?
It. That's one of my favorite clips ever for our 4 years together.
And I think that was the last time he was on the show, and he is now on the show again. Willard and Dibs, 95.7 The Game, River Island's guest line. Here he is, the great Steve Young, joining us. Hey, friend, you're the best. How are you, man?
How are you doing, buddy? Great, great. How are you doing, buddy?
We're doing great. I was just thinking about how, like, okay, so when the Chiefs played the Niners in the Super Bowl, Joe Montana sent out that thing with both jerseys, and he's like, I can't lose. Are you going to do the same thing with the Niners and Bucks getting together this weekend?
What? Shut up, bro. That is crazy.
That's
didn't
so crazy.
Bring that up.
Yeah.
That is nuts. Man, like, there's no confusion here. My gosh. I spent a long, long year there, and the culture of the place was terrible, and the guys were great. And I loved the guys, but my gosh, that was a painful experience. But I will tell you, it's funny. I played one full season. We were 2-14. And the next season, I'm with the 49ers, and we go down to Tampa to play, and in 1987, and I get down there, and the PR director for the Bucs, who I'd kind of gotten friendly with, he said, "Hey, you don't realize this, but you were voted the MVP of the Bucs last year." And I'm like, "That's kind of weird. I'm not really sure to think about that
right.
Because we were 2-14. Like, I don't know about that." He goes, "Yeah, we want to give you the trophy at halftime. Could you come out and receive it?"
No way.
And I was like, I'm going to be in a 49er uniform. I mean, I don't know. The whole thing seems really odd. And yeah, there I was halftime. Like, hey, take a bow.
There it is.
2-14.
Well,
where is that Buccaneers MVP trophy now, Steve?
Oh man, it's in a pile somewhere. I don't know. We have to dig that one out.
I mean, it's unbelievable. Steve Young here on 95.7 The Game. And one of the reasons why we're thrilled to have you, of course, we're always happy to have you, but it's the idea of Mac or Brock and Brock or Mac. And when you're in that spot where, you know, Mac was highly drafted, not as highly drafted as you, but you feel like you're kind of the guy, and then you go out there and you do well. What does that do when you eventually have to kind of go back into that that baseball cap mode?
Well, for me, I'm not like, I think it's important to distinguish how I felt about it and how, you know, it's a different time and different place. So you got to remember, it sucked. Like, I didn't want to, that's not what I, it's strange as it was, Bill Walsh had presented an opportunity that Joe had multiple back surgeries and there was this opportunity to play. And I told Coach Walsh, look, I hate to hear that about Joe, but if there's an opportunity, I would love that. And no better place than in San Francisco would be amazing. But like, I want to be clear. I got to go play. And I've always played. And I said, I'd rather go to law school than not play. And then he's like, no. And so then I get there, and I've told this story many times, but just in case you haven't heard it, first practice, I'm out there, the 49ers, I'm nervous. I got, stuff gave into me, all Ted Walsh gave me all the shorts and the shirt and the shoes and everything else. And I'd never met Joe. And then, you know, waiting there, and I didn't know if he's going to be there. I mean, maybe he was in surgery. I don't know. And then I remember Bill was out there, Coach Walsh was out there, and we're warming up, and then Joe came jogging out. And I'm like, my first
thought, the second I saw him, was like, that dude is not hurt. That dude is not hurt. That dude is good to go. And that began a 5-year, 6-year odyssey. So how I felt about it is just really different than anything that's going on today. But yet I got the best advice I ever got from a coach that in the middle of all that mess and all the frustration that said, Steve, I know you want to start. I know that's what your expectation was, but you'll never be a starter until you learn the lesson that if you want a job that you don't have, you better become the best in the world at the job you have. And so it was really a sea change for how I saw the job of a backup, because I kind of spit it out all the time. I hated it. It was like you throw up in your mouth kind of stuff. And I had to learn the truth is that if you really want another job, then be the best at the job you have today. And I thought it's been true my whole life, really. And that's why I did kind of start to believe that, okay, what would that look like? How would I prepare? I prepare different. I prepare like I was going to play every week. And how could I help Joe be the best that he can be? How can I, like, that's the job. And so I think once I did that, it really made me feel like I was at least, you know, in it and contributing and really on the ball. And it helped me when it did transition. It helped me a ton that I'd done that work. So anyway, that's a long story for how I'm a little bit different than the guys that are going today. But for Mac, he came and they told him, you're backing him up. You know, and so he said that over to you guys, and almost too much, right? Like Mac, like you don't have to keep, you know, you can say, hey, I'm awesome, and you know, I'm good, and I'm playing hard, and I'd love to keep playing. Like it doesn't hurt anybody, but he's really respectful, and I love that about him. But the thing that can't change is how he's played, and how he's played has been very inspiring, and so that fact is a fact. And so it's in the locker room knows it. They've been inspired by him and doesn't take anything away from Brock. It might make things more awkward, but it doesn't take anything away from him. And I've always believed that awkwardness and creative tension is a positive. So I think it's going to be hard for Mac to ever go back. Like he's now tasted it. And if it's not going to be in San Francisco, I pray he doesn't go to, you know, don't make me list them, but there's 20 of them, places where I would not want to be, and that he can find a place that can give him this opportunity to see how good he can get, because this is the ultimate place for that.
The great Steve Young is with us here on Willard and Dibbs, 95.7 The Game. I mean, Steve, you just detailed it. I mean, the quarterback controversy you lived was the all-time quarterback controversy. I think I know how you'd answer this, but I'd love to back up and just get your response to, is there anything that even resembles a controversy, or how would you describe what's currently going on?
I would describe it's awkward, but it's pleasantly awkward, right? It's like everyone involved is going to behave and do things good. Well, they're not going to. It's a good locker room. It's a good quarterback room, but it's just inevitable that. And I think the awkwardness brings out the best in both of them. Mac will support Brock 1,000%. Brock will support Mac 1,000%. That's just who they are. And so the awkwardness is going to be to the benefit of the 49ers. They just have to withstand all of the chat and the chitter chat that goes on. That's going to make it harder. It makes it hard to, because it's going to every day they're going to try to make it controversial, something that's toxic, something that derails the success of the team, derails our ability to go win a championship, and they'll just make it feel and sound terrible. And people just have to live through it and say, no, it's not terrible. It's awkward, but it's creative, it's positive, and we're getting the best out of both of them. And they're just going to have to shout that back at all the places, because I think no matter what, people will try to get under people's skin and try to peck at it and make it a problem.
Yeah, and thank God for the chatter. Otherwise, Mark and I would be out there delivering milk. I might be a no doubt. And oh man, God, the chatter we needed. I wonder though, Steve, about the way you look at it and the whole idea of ride the hot hand, because Mac right now is hot. They're winning. If Mac wins again and Brock is healthy, do they ride the hot hand or do they go back to the starter?
It just depends on health, right? These are John Lynch doesn't do this for free.
right? Kyle doesn't do this for free. These guys are the best in the business, and they have, these are the quality problems that you get yourself into very rarely, and it really depends on how you want it to be. Like, it's very obvious that you've made this huge contract for Brock, and that's got its own statement and truth. And then we also know that Kyle loved Mac from the beginning. And so there's that connection that they've had, and that's now flourishing. And so to me, it's a, you know, at one level, it's a business. And part of the business is keeping the locker room together, going to win a championship, and then long-term, viability. So it's like it all, and the idea that you don't constantly kind of take that, put your finger in there and figure that out is probably a mistake. And so I think, odds are very much so that Brock is in a place where he's going to be able to play, and Mac will probably be forced to go somewhere else. And that's probably the odds on situation. And yet, I leave it to those guys that make all that big money to figure out what they want to do. Because I think, and it really depends on Mac, right? Because we know Brock. We can count, there's things that you just, to me, when Brock suits up, I know what I'm getting. And it's a lot, right? And Mac, we think we've gotten some great glimpses into what Mac is and the toughness and the ability to deliver the football and all that stuff. But he doesn't have as much clarity, and every week's more and more clarity, but that does make it a little bit uneven fight for Brock, because he's got so much time with us and we know who he is and we like it, and we want more Brock. And what's funny, what's happening is like, we want kind of more Mac too. And that's what I said before. It's awkward.
Steve Young with us here on Willard and Dibs. Steve, this is putting the cart before the horse, I get it, but you've mentioned twice about the idea of Mac going somewhere else, and he's on a 2-year deal. So I'm wondering, let's say he does just, compile a few more wins, then Brock comes back and the Niners do whatever they do. Is the tension you're talking about something that's still there in the offseason? Do the Niners just keep him, or do they owe it to him to get him somewhere else?
To me, I think the awkwardness brings out the best in both of them, because they're not toxic personalities. And I felt the same way in my situation. Like, what did the 49ers get? They got the best of both of us, and it was awkward, and it was painful, but my gosh, it was like all we had. And so in that way, I feel like Brock and Mac would respond to that tension in a really positive way. So my opinion, if I was the general manager there, despite, again, the awkwardness, I think I get the best out of both of them. And then it's on me as the leader of kind of running the team, how I distribute that, right? How do I clarify that? I mean, the more clarity you give, hey, Brock's our starter, Mac, you'll play if he's hurt or something goes haywire. And then, because the problem becomes, we don't want to give clarity. We're going to just let it play out and we'll see week to week. And that leaves the locker room in a really tough spot. So, but I'm not against maintaining the best possible, tandem. And that would be Brock and Mac together. And I think it can be to the positive of both of their games and to the 49ers have played outright.
Just going back to 1987, Steve, this was before players demanded to be traded or even the word got out. How did that go where you guys go 2-14 and clearly Tampa was in a world of hurt ever since they got founded 9 years earlier? How did that all play out to where all of a sudden you were on the move to San Francisco?
I'll try to cover it quickly. So I had developed a relationship with the owner. And the owner was a very quiet, reserved, awkward.
Did we lose him?
Didn't know anybody. So there I just picked up and we talked. And so we got to be communicators. And we tried to, we both recruited Bo Jackson famously with great nothingness, and he told us to shove it, like we were going nowhere, but we kind of did that together. So it's like we built a little rapport. And so when I finished my one full season, they changed coaches, and Ray Perkins came in. And Ray Perkins, the first meeting, he did this weird thing where he told everyone what he wanted everyone to weigh. And you know, when he showed up at training camp and he was reading off everybody's name, you know, and then he gets to Young and he goes 195, and I'm like, 195? Like, I haven't been 195 since I was in 11th grade, bro. Like, yeah. That doesn't make any sense. So I went up to him afterwards, like, Coach Perkins, you know, almost just basically the first time I've met him. I go, hey, I just want you to know that, you know, 195 is going to be almost dangerous. And, like, and he looked at me, he lit me up, EMF'd me and told me, like, don't worry about nothing. You know, don't you realize I hate scramblers and I hate lefties even more. Whoa. And I'm like, whoa. And so I knew that things were not off to the right foot. And so then they traded me to the Cardinals, called me. Ray Perkins calls me and says, hey, traded the Cardinals, and hung up, you know. And I'm like, so I called Mr. Culverhouse. I'm like, Mr. Culverhouse, you told me I was your quarterback for life. You know, you and I were like in this together. Now I'm getting traded to the Cardinals. Like, you can't send me to the, I mean, if there's one place worse than the Bucs, it's the Cardinals. Like, bro, come on. And he nixed it. He went, called it up, nixed the deal, and called me back and said, look, I give you a week to figure out what's best, and let me know. And then Eddie and he made a deal where they did a Charlie Finley thing for money and draft picks and figured it out. And Ray Perkins was super pissed. And Mr. Culverhouse did me a great solid. So that's how it all went down.
Wow.
Great story.
What a story. Yep. Unbelievable. Steve Young with us on Willard and Dibs here, 95.7 The Game. Steve, I want to go back to what Dibs was asking you with regard to the whole hot hand thing. And I wonder if you've noticed anything. I know fans are always going to talk, but there's so many fans who seem eager to continue seeing Mac. Do you think this experience has brought maybe out from the weeds some sort of, like, I don't know if it's distrust or whatnot from the fan base with regard to Brock?
Well, Brock, you know, was elite in 23, and last year was hard. It's hard on everybody. I mean, I bet Kyle would say, I was kind of 6-10, and Brock was kind of 6-10, and a lot of players were missing, and it was like all this stuff. But what happened is both Brock and Kyle, and the personalities, I'm gonna do whatever I can, and so you overdo it, you know. And you could see him trying to do too much, and that caused him to start to make mistakes that he wouldn't normally make. And so the mistakes through the year, and that's what you saw this season a little bit, was we were throwing a couple interceptions a game, and last season was a lot more mistakes. Then it feels like there's a pattern emerging. And injuries a part of it, and the team that's available is a part of it, and so that's the rigor of being the big paid starting franchise quarterback. That's like welcome. That's, you know, that's where you are. That's who you are. That's what you are. And so that's part of the challenge, right? Is that you have to live those shoes out when you're going through all the ups and downs, and now Mac, in a very short time, has played inspiration. Like, when you watched him in the Ram game limp around and make the throws and bring them back and make the scores that happen that are hard. You know, in the NFL, especially on the road against the Rams, which are a very good team, you're like, I left that game like, dang, man, it's freaking, I'm going to go get a tinger if he keeps this up. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And that's nothing. Again, that's nothing to do with Brock. That's just an emotional response to knowing how hard the game is and how somebody's playing inspirational football for your squad. And so that's the awkwardness that you just have to kind of take in. It's okay. It's okay. And it doesn't have to be zero-sum game. We can find abundance in here. We just got to talk about it the right way. We got to respond the right way. And fans can feel a little conflicted because Max on the field, winning game, you know, division games on the road, and kind of inspiring us. So it's not, again, it's not, like, I just refuse to allow the dilemma and the creative tension and the abundance of the situation. Two guys are playing great football for us to make it be, you can't turn it negative on me. You can't turn it into something toxic or transactional where you're going to make me have to choose somebody and make someone else a loser. Like, I'm not doing it. And I think that's the challenge that Kyle has going forward. And look, it's week to week. You know, if somebody has a terrible game, it makes it even more intense. And if everybody keeps playing great, it makes it easier. But it's okay. But it has to be handled really well. It'll be handled really well with Mac and Brock. I know that. I'm not even worried about it. No problem. I think it'll be handled really well with John and Kyle. I really have high confidence in that. And I guarantee the fan bases are just, it's going to be wild.
Yeah.
It's going to be a wild, you know, in a positive way, because whoever's on the field's playing pretty freaking good.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing. So I refuse to go down the rabbit hole of finding why this is a terrible thing. This is, this is terrible for the 49ers that we have quarterbacks that are playing great. That can't be true.
That's well said. Do you have any concerns, though? Let's talk about just the physical thing that Brock is dealing with. Do you have concerns there? What is your experience with turf toe and what this might mean for him rest of the year or even beyond?
Yeah, I've had slight turf toe. Nothing that ever got the ligament really kind of pissed. Like, I've never had that. So, but I can tell you that the guys that have, it really depends. Like, look at Joe Burrow. Like, you can do things to it where that ligament is like, sayonara, bro. I'm not coming back. And so obviously he hurt it again, which is so typical. Like, how do you stay off your big toe?
Yeah.
Like, other than lay down, right? Like, there's no way. And so that's the challenge. And so I think what we learned about the last time we played him a couple weeks ago is, let's try to get this, especially if Mac's playing well, let's try to get this to a place where we don't have to have this back and forth for the whole season. Because it's very possible that 2025 ends and we go the retrospective in February and we'll say, God, man, what a rough season for Brock. It never got right. It never happened. You know what I mean? Like, that's what we just don't want. And we're in a situation where maybe we don't have to. And so that's why you got to play out. And I have no idea whether he can come back full speed next week or not. Like, you just have to play it out. But the toe itself and putting pressure on it and that ligament and going and playing again, I don't know where they play next. Whether they go off to Tampa, do they come home again?
Yeah, home to Atlanta.
Like, back on the,
yep.
Yeah, and then go back on the turf anytime. That's why, like, it doesn't, playing on the grass doesn't make it all better, but it does make it less than catching on the turf again and having it just jam you up. But yeah, we'll have to play that out. But again, I don't want the retrospective to be, man, Brock never got right. Like, that would be, that's not cool.
Steve, will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64? I'm being told you have a birthday tomorrow, no. Steve Young.
Don't even try it, bro. Don't even go.
It happens, Steve.
It makes no sense. It makes no sense. It baffles the mind. So I'm walking around living in like a little fiction land that I'm 50 and I'm dominating. Like, I'm just going to live. I just know what else to do. Like, I'm running around. I ran my 4 miles today. I'm going. So, like, I don't know.
No.
Yell it out. Scream it out. I can't tell you. Maybe I'm a Pollyanna.
No, you're crushing it, because my partner actually turned 50 and I'm between he and you. And so I was so happy that he finally turned 50 and I was doing my research for this, and I realized that you are where you are, and I'm like, oh my, if he's there and I'm there, we probably shouldn't talk about it, Steve.
I don't know, man.
Yeah.
All I do know is science is not on my side. Entropy, effing and entropy is like, I looked in the mirror yesterday and it's not going well. It's like, it's going the wrong direction and it's not going to change. So we're just going to battle it out, be graceful, love it, and let's move on.
Yeah,
and
gravity's
my dad,
yeah.
My dad, who turns 90 this February, he always told me that you have to have a dream. A dream is a less than 1% chance, but you always have to have a dream. And so I asked him recently, it's okay, what, Mr. Big, what's your dream? He goes, 110. And I'm like, all right,
okay,
let's go. Let's do this. Yeah.
Are you doing something special, by the way? Are you celebrating?
No, just we have a big school, like one of the families, and we're doing an Indian themed big party tomorrow night. And so I have my awesome get up, you know, like the Bollywood get. I'm like, I'm ready. Like, I got it all going for tomorrow night. Big
I love
party.
It. Awesome. I love it. Steve Young here on Willard and Dibs. Hey, one more thing before you run, and it's this, because these situations, again, yours so different than this, but how does it affect an entire locker room? Like, what do you think the other players are thinking right now about this whole situation?
So you have to educate the locker room. The key is that you have a mature locker room, a self-policing. We've had that for the last 6 or 7 years. The leaders in the locker room that won't allow the agitation or the anxiety to start to affect the guys. And that's going to come a lot from the communication from Kyle and from John. And so all that, and we have the people. John's the right person, Kyle's the right person, and the leaders in our locker room are the right people. So we've got all the ingredients to handle this really well. The problem comes is if somehow it's not communicated well, or it's left to have a vacuum of information, and people start to fill it with guesswork and anxiety. And then once the anxiety hits in the locker room and the leadership can't kind of quiet it down, then it starts to, that's where the distraction comes. And that's hard. Now that doesn't mean that, again, awkwardness in my mind is not distraction, right? Awkwardness is some tension, but I call it creative tension. I don't call it, you know, anything else. So it's like, it's a fine line, but again, I refuse to make it a negative. Like, it's awesome. It's a quality problem.
Yeah.
And I would, any of us would love to have only quality problems in our lives.
Well, right? I think you should feel that way about turning 64. Ooh. It's a quality problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's quality. It's awesome. Yeah. Quality. It's awesome.
So great.
Happy birthday, dude. Thank you. Thank you for coming on.
I'll see you guys.
Okay. See you later. There he goes. Steve Young on Willard and Dibbs here on 95.7 again.
Say that again.
Steve Young. Extended Steve Young.
Steve Young.
Here on 95.7 The Game. With everything that we're doing right now with this 49er team, quite frankly, I don't think there's another human being on the planet I would rather hear from on this situation than that man.
I think the next closest thing would be what the Morning Roast had yesterday, which was Drew Bledsoe.
Yeah, that's
and
pretty good too.
Tom Brady. And then you could go to Alex Smith, Colin Kaepernick, but nothing will ever match the Steve Young, Joe Montana. They traded a first and a second and $1 million. And I never knew that actually Steve Young went to the owner and said, bro, and those are his words, bro, Arizona, right. No, we can't do this. And then the owner nixes it based on that relationship. The coach gets mad, and then he gives Steve Young a week to figure it out, and Steve Young figures it out. And the caveat was, hey, Joe's not doing great. He's had all these back issues. I want to play. And it's like, yeah, okay. He comes here, and he sees Joe. He's like, oh, God, Joe's back is fine. And if you look at the next 3 or 4 years, right. Joe was mostly fine, and when he was upright, he was amazing.
I mean, the number one thing to take from that conversation is, because he said it about 5 different times, I refuse to make this a negative. Like, it was hell what he, and he said that multiple times, it was hell what he went through with Joe. But if you're a Niner fan, what did it do? He goes, it brought out the best in everybody, and it's up to them to deal with it. We don't have to deal with it. When our show's over at 6, I don't know about you, I'm going to go have dinner. Like, I don't need to worry about this.
No.
What's better than one good quarterback? Two good quarterbacks.
Right.
Now, I don't want to compare Brock Purdy and Mac Jones to Steve Young and Joe Montana.
And
that's ridiculous.
We did a lot to not do that.
Yeah. Like, and I mean that in terms of the situation and the players they were, obviously. But if you've got two people who can go win you a football game on Sunday, you actually got to work pretty hard to make that a bad thing. It's a good thing. It's a really, really good thing. Speaking of quarterbacks and the 49ers, we have a development to pass along courtesy of Tom Pelissero, who just tweeted this out. Take a listen to this, and I wonder what you think about it. With Brock Purdy out and Mac Jones officially questionable, the 49ers held a workout for 3 quarterbacks yesterday. Desmond Ridder, Nathan Peterman, and Quentin Dormady. I've never heard of Quentin Dormady.
I like the player.
Obviously, we know who Desmond Ridder and Nathan Peterman are. They have been backups who've bounced around Raiders, Falcons, etc. Peterman with the Bills, famously a few years ago. They did not, in an immediate term, sign any of them, leaving Adrian Martinez to back up Mac Jones for the game on Sunday. Now, I read that as a couple of things. I think, number one, I'm thinking you work those guys out on Thursday because you're not 100% sure on Thursday that Mac can play on Sunday.
Perhaps, yeah.
So maybe Adrian Martinez would have to be the starter, and you need to work some people out for a backup. But then they go through practice today, and I think that they feel comfortable that Mac Jones is going to start. But also, it's good to work these guys out because who knows what's going to happen next. And how confident are you with everything that Mac Jones is dealing with that he's going to be healthy coming out of this football game on Sunday? Yeah. I don't know.
Well, and the other piece of it is, let's just say that you don't have Brock Purdy on Sunday, and you won't, so you've got Mac and Adrian. And then next Sunday, Brock Purdy's now available. And so you're going to go with Brock and Mac. Well, that means bye-bye to Adrian Martinez because you can't put him down to the practice squad and elevate him again. So this, to me, is not only about a Sunday emergency plan, a Geico, as Guru would say, but it's also about who's going to be our three when we have Mac and Brock both healthy, because it can't be Adrian Martinez unless you give him a full-on roster spot for the rest of the year, but you won't do that. So this, to me, becomes almost like the next person to be your emergency QB3 when Brock gets healthy.
Just information, right?
Sure.
Be ready. All of those things, but I think it also, I mean, it speaks to what the Niners are flipping dealing with right now, and that is that their starting quarterback, A, is obviously still not available, and there is some concern or at least some thought of, like, it's a mystery when he is going to be ready. Like, John Lynch even said it this week, Brock Purdy is now on board after what happened after the Jacksonville game. Brock Purdy is on board with, I will come back. Let's have me come back when I'm totally healthy. And who knows when that is going to be. I mean, one thing we're all really, really learning here, and if you've watched football for a period of time, you know that turf toe is more than just stubbing your toe. But I think we're starting to get a sense for, dude, turf toe, this is a serious injury. This is a serious ligament. Like, use the word ligament. That's what they should use, because people like, oh, I stubbed my toe. Like, it's a ligament injury. If this is any other ligament in the body, we as fans, we know. Like, alarms go off the second you say ligament. ACL, the L stands for ligament.
UCL, MCL, ligament, PCL, ligament, LCL.
Right.
Like, the UCL, you get Tommy John. The ACL, you're out for 9 months. The PCL is what Ricky Pearsall has, and it cost McCaffrey last year the last month and a half or two months of the season. So when you put the L in there, yeah, and that's what this is. And I think it was Drew Bledsoe who came on the morning show, the morning roast, and was like, yeah, we need to rename this thing.
Totally.
Because turf toe, turf rhymes with Smurf. So it's oh, you've got a Papa Smurf. Get back in there, you big baby. No, it is a sprained ligament of the most important digit below your elbow.
I'm going to go with, instead of turf toe, let's call it TLE. TLE. He's got TLE. Toe ligament explosion.
Yeah, not bad.
This is essentially what just, does that sound worse? Got some TLE.
Right.
He's out. So the mystery of not just he's out, but when will he be available? And then let's start. I would like to. Let's really start to not treat Mac Jones like he is a tackle dummy on the sideline at practice, because everyone's been like, don't, Brock Purdy can't play until he's 100%. Well, Mac Jones is playing when he's not 100%. And is anybody worried about his health? I would argue we should be. We should be. So you got to be ready for that guy to also be protected by this thing going forward, because every house money game you win affords you the right to be like, let's protect both quarterbacks, because you might need, I think you definitely do, you need both of them at least in the near term to get through this schedule. And maybe Brock Purdy, come November or whatever, maybe he's good to go and then that's it and he just plays football for the rest of the year. But nobody right now is predicting that. You got
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
How to protect Mac too. So, yeah, there might be an Adrian Martinez game somewhere in here. That guy might start Sunday Night Football.
Yeah, he might. And I'm thinking about the history, and we just had Steve Young on, and he's always so great to talk to. And when you think about the history of it, so they bring in Young because Montana may not be that durable, and then Joe turns out to be that durable. You win almost every game, including two Super Bowls, and then Joe gets racked up by the Giants. All right, Steve, it's your job. And Steve went 5-5 as a starter in 1991. Steve Bono came in and went 5-1.
Won football games, absolutely.
That's right. And then the next year, Joe Montana played one game, and Steve Young again, you got to be the starter. They didn't win the Super Bowl that year. Then you trade Montana, and Young eventually would get the monkey off his back.
Yes.
But, and again, I'm not going to make the Mac and Brock comparison to two Hall of Famers, but the idea of you bring a guy in, and it turns out you needed him more than you thought. And in that case, there was no salary cap, so you could pay them both and you could wait and the whole all the rest of it. But you brought in Mac just in case, and now you need Mac, and he's kind of a lightweight Steve Bono.
Totally.
Bono went 5-1 off the bench for Steve Young.
Similar type of QB, too. Bono was a little bit more mobile, maybe. But, yeah, I remember.
I mean,
I remember those games. The Niners used to do that, and it speaks to what you're seeing now. They were a great system. And it seemed like it was, could it be Joe Montana? And then it was Steve Young. And then it was Steve Bono. And that, Matt Cavanaugh would come in and win a football game here or there. Like, it, because it was a wonderful system. Would it be as dynamic? No. But it was a great system under Bill Walsh. And multiple people could come in and at least keep things together. And you have that now. And I started chuckling while you were talking because now my mind... my mind is going to the names we just read on Pelissero's Twitter. Like, I can't wait for the Nathan Peterman game. Like, Peterman's going to go to the MetLife Turf, and he's going to beat the New York Giants. He's going to go into the Big Apple, and everyone's going to be like, hey, maybe this Peterman guy should be our starter next year. Like, that's the other thing. I want to go back to Steve's answer about the creative tension and where this could potentially go this offseason. I kind of asked him, would the Niners in this theory, would they owe it to Mac to get him out of town? He kind of answered it in a little bit of a different way of like, in other words, would you be getting him out of town so that you avoid the tension? He's like, no, I think the Niners can handle that. And I'm with him on that. Like, I look at this whole thing, and I am totally comfortable right now with the idea of Brock Purdy's your quarterback, and Mac Jones is your super capable backup, and we could do this for the next year and a half as far as I'm concerned. That's fine. That's great. That's Steve's message, and I accept it. Like, this is a good thing, not the opposite.
Right, as long as the personalities are in a spot where they can handle it, and that's where the Niner thing in the 90s, it started to break apart because, you know, Steve Young was knocking on the door. Joe got hurt, missed a whole year, came back and got hurt immediately, and Steve led him to a 14-2, and they lost in the conference championship game to the Cowboys. Joe barely played it all that year, and then they traded him. So that thing came to a head at that point, but this won't be that because that was, I believe, 5 or 6 years of the two of them together, and it wasn't ever much of a competition because when Joe was healthy, Joe played, and then Joe missed almost 2 full years, and Steve took over, and then it was like, okay, now, Steve, it's your time.
Yep.
Joe's got to go, and they traded Joe Montana? Are you kidding me? They traded Joe Montana.
He's still mad, and so are some fans.
Right.
Still mad.
And thank God Steve was able to go out there and get that monkey off his back and
right,
get one.
Right.
Otherwise, it would be,
Just go to the Hall of Fame.
Of course.
It'll be, yeah. That, by the way, that's your assignment. You have to go out and go to the Hall of Fame.
Mac.
And he's like, okay.
Well.
That's the best stuff.
Yeah.
That's the best stuff. That's the assignment. You know what I mean? And look, again, this his perspective on all of this is so valued. It's so different. And we are completely getting ahead of ourselves. But at the same time, I thought, like, the validity that Steve added to this is sort of like, the big word for me out of that entire conversation was awkward. Awkward.
Yeah.
How is it right now in that locker room and for these guys? Like, it's not a QB controversy, so what is it? And he's like, it's a QB awkward. It's awkward. And he's right. Brock's going to say all the right things, and Mac's going to say all the right things, and I tried to mention this yesterday. Like, I don't care how aw shucks both of these dudes look. They're fiery competitors, and they want this job. Or a job. And Brock has the job. But Mac wants to play football. And so he's not just like, hopefully I'll win one more game and then I'll just put on my headset and watch and that's fine by me. Like, that's not how it is. So good, good creative tension. All right, let's react to that. We'd love to hear from you. 888-957-9570. If Mac and the Niners win Sunday, do you want automatically Mac again the following week on Sunday Night Football against Atlanta? We'll take your calls on that right now. We also had an observation out of the Eagles' loss last night, subsequent interviews in the locker room, looking at you, A.J. Brown, and wanted to discuss a little bit about what that means for Kyle Shanahan and the Niners. So that's all ahead. 888-957-9570 is the number. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. This is Willard and Dibs.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.